हरिः ॐ
सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 66, chapter 68.
Sri Bharatayani said, O best of the Bharatas, after the arrogant Kurus, thoroughly puffed up by the opulence of their high birth and relations, had spoken these harsh words to Lord Balaram, they turned and went back to their city. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Dhritarashtra and others, Tay, spoke to Balaram, Ramam, who had come there to give them happiness, using words which were very unsuitable or to be condemned, durvachyam, after making Balaram hear with anger and loud voices, ashravya, those who were without politeness, ashbhyaha, entered the city, quickly turning their backs to him, avishan. Bhishma and some others remained, however. Right, so those who had this mentality on that, then they said these things, they turned their backs, they walked in. But Bhishma and others who you know, had are devotees in that, then they remained. Because that wasn't their speaking. This was, you know, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra like that. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, seeing the bad character of the Kurus and hearing their nasty words, the infallible Lord Balaram became filled with rage, his countenance frightful to behold. He laughed repeatedly and spoke as follows. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. In this circumstance, Balaram thought, let them say what they want and do what they want. So he was silent. After the Kauravas left, however, he, in the presence of the city people, said and did what he should and showed his anger. Krodha sam rabdha. So, Balaram came, so all the gurus and everyone, they came out. It is also that the citizens would have come out also, you see. And so all of them there, so these leaders of the gurus, then they would have said their part and gone in. So Balaram says, whatever they're going to say, let them say. Because one thing is in doing that, then you actually hear what they're going to say. Because otherwise, if you start talking earlier, they may not say everything. Right? So they say whatever they're going to say. Then it's very clear what they're doing. Now, having turned their back and left, now we know they're not going to say any more. So what they've said, that is what they're going to say. So now having heard that, now Balaram can decide what he wants to do. Right? So then in front of all the city people and that, then, and a few others, Bhishma and Vidura, like them, then now he will do what he should do with that, how they behave. Lord Balaram said, clearly, the many passions of these scoundrels have made them so proud that they do not want peace. Then let them be pacified by physical punishment, as animals are struck, or as animals are with a stick. Right? So, you know, it's just like the animal, it's going to do whatever it likes because you haven't hit it with a stick. Right? But if you're going to hit it with a stick or you hit it with the stick, then it will do what it should do. Like that. So they're only satisfied when they get hit with the stick. You know, so the bigger the animal, then the more that's true. You know, like bulls and stuff like that. Unless you whack them with a stick, they really don't care. So like that. So their passions and all that, they're so absorbed in the Kshatriya Dharma, so their prowess, their power, their opulence, their wealth, all these different things, then all these passions then have made them very proud. Only gradually Only gradually was I able to calm the furious Yadus and Lord Krishna, who was also enraged. Desiring peace for these Kauravas, I came here. But they are so dull-headed, fond of quarrel, and mischievous by nature that they have repeatedly disrespected me. So, if they want fighting, they would have got fighting if Balaram hadn't stepped in. Because otherwise, as far as Ugrasena and Krishna and everybody, they just would have marched there with their army and wiped the place out. But Balaram said no, because we're family, that we should work this out, amicably. And so then they come out and then insult Balaram rather than dealing nicely. So that's what it means, they're dull-headed. They don't actually understand what's happening. Out of conceit, they dared to address me with harsh words. King Ugrasena, the lord of the Bojas, Rishnis, and Andakas, is not fit to command when Indra and other planetary rulers obey his orders, right? So that's one of the rhetorical questions that are not being, discussed here, right? So another, he's saying he's not fit to rule when the demigods, listen to him. So, who are these guys? Lord Balaram continued, the same Krishna who occupies the Sudharma assembly hall, right, which is given by the demigods, right, and for his enjoyment took the Parijata tree from the immortal demigods. That very Krishna is indeed not fit to sit on a royal throne. It's like, what have they done? In this kind of fact. Means they're rulers, and they're rulers of, emperors of the world. But they haven't done something beyond that. So therefore, to make comments that those who have aren't qualified to rule because it doesn't fit me at this particular moment. I'm displeased with you, so therefore, then you don't have your position. Their position is so much greater. It's like saying that, how you say? Brihaspati and the great sages, Narada and that, they're not fit to give, direct the universe, only the demigods like, Indra, Varuna, and that, they're the qualified ones. It's only by our grace we give them their position. But what they have to understand is, no, it's Narada and the others, then they're, because they don't want to manage the universe. You leave that to people who are lesser, who have so much passions. Right? And so you're aloof to that, but at the same time, it's because for universal management, you cooperate with them. That's what's going on. Because we can see is that when Nahusha, he became Indra in that time when Indra was having a holiday in the stem of a lotus. He had the, what are they called? I think seven sages carry his palanquin. And so they might do it out of the cooperation, but it's not that they're not more powerful. But then when he behaves badly on top of that, then he gets cursed to become a snake. So he has to remember, or Indra thinks he's so special, but because he disrespects Brihaspati, then the demigods lose their position. While the demons, they're respecting their acharya, they're being elevated. So the point is, you follow your acharya, that's what makes things work, not technically what you're doing. That we have to understand that. That's what makes things function. Yes?
All right, we see those are the pastimes of Balaram. He's having fun. For us, it's not a pastime, especially for those in a leadership position. So just by studying the character and the situation and, everything, obviously Balaram knew what's going to happen, because Kauravas, they're proud and this and that. Could we still go through all the procedure?
Yes, because he's showing what the procedure is, and he takes pleasure in that.
Yeah.
So therefore, we as servants of the Lord, we will go through the procedure to please him. So in other words, this is how he likes it to unfold. So whether he's doing it personally, whether it's on the platform of the Paramatma or on Brahman, but this is the process, this is the mechanical process that should be used. So in other words, if there's a basis of relationship, you would always try to give that preference over simply the formal. Then then if that works, then great. If that doesn't work, then you go into the mechanical systems that would function. And then in here, someone else has, they have something to say, let them say it when they've said it. Then after that, then you speak. And you'll find that if you do this, that all these things, it works better. That's why Balaram does it this way. Does that make sense? So we, as servants of the Lord, we follow the process because this is how Krishna, as these processes, is served. And then the end result, then, is for Krishna.
Because for us, it's much easier. You see A, you see B, you put a straight line, and then that's it. Because going like this, like Balaram did, it takes a lot of energy, actually.
Yes, but that's the whole point of leadership, is to use that energy. Right? It's not just to take the easiest way out and sit back, because otherwise what's the meaning of having the position and the authority unless you're working more than others? There's modern ideas that, you know, the only danger of leadership is you might get, what's that thing you get from repetitive syndrome, you know, on your fingers from typing, you know,
carpal
on the computer?
Carpal tunnel syndrome.
Carpal tunnel syndrome. That's your major...
That's fear.
Huh?
That's fear for leaning against the keyboard.
But I think you can also get it in here if it's always the same thing. So, in any case, whatever it is, like that, or... You know, or a bad back from always sitting, you know, in the chair at the computer. You know, certain, you know, very major. So the point is that problem, that's why he points out that previously leadership meant they were in the front line of whatever they were doing. You know, if that would be the best way to get it done, rather than what's the easiest. Because we say easy, I mean, that more efficient, but sometimes it's just easier. So it's a matter of, if we cultivate this way, then we'll see, one, it'll take energy, but with time, it'll be actually easier to do, and it'll get better results, and we'll become better at it. It's like anything. You practice it, you get better at it. And why will that work that way? Because the Lord's pleased with that. Because otherwise, if we don't do, it may appear efficient, but does it actually in the long run work? That's what has to be seen. You know, like, let's say so many times, okay, something came up, there's a big festival, somebody made a, what is that called? It's the opposite of unanimous, they make their own decision on their own without telling the others. You know, it's a managerial term.
Autonomous.
Autonomous, yeah, but they've done it, whatever, yes, but basically we have to understand. They make a decision. Do this thing, then everybody else finds out about it afterwards, and they're not very pleased with that. So he can say, what's the problem? It got done, it got the work done, but they would have preferred to do it another way. And so then you can say it was efficient. You know, it took 3 days instead of 2 weeks. But then the problem is 3 days are up, and then now for the next 6 months, they're going to be talking about this, and they're not going to trust them on things, and they're always going to be, you know, it's not going to be a cohesive unit. So actually, it's not effective. And you'll have to put in more effort trying to correct it than the effort original. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like every syllable, every word in the text message, you're very carefully considering, writing, rewriting, even though you're actually writing about 8 words. And it's a lot of work. But if you do that, it saves days of reaction. Right? So that's the thing. So work's going to be there. It's just you want to work in the progressive, or work in the... What is that called? You know, after the fact, you're trying to fix, repair. Yeah, like that.
Damage control.
Damage control. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's just a matter of where it is, because we think that if I do it quick, it'll work because the thing is right. But we see the bigger picture, then we'll know that there's much more that you're dealing with. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's. that's what leadership's for, because leadership, by doing that, establishes that. Then you'll see with time, everybody starts to some degree starts to follow that. As Krishna says in Gita, whatever the leader does, everyone else will follow. Yes.
So actually, one lesson of this is Balaram is showing that unless one is a leader, he cannot enjoy it. He's not qualified to do it like he is doing.
Yeah. Means it's his nature, so he does. You know, it's just like you hear, it's a term used many times, you know, if you go back to battles where were using swords and stuff like that. Then you hear about some great warrior, he wades in. Right? So that means for him it's very comfortable. Right? You know, he's not coming up to the edge, sticking his toe in the water, it's cold and all this thing. Like that. He wades in. That means he just goes in like an elephant goes into the water. They're comfortable in the water. That's the whole thing. So that's where the nature is that for us, it may think, how can you do it? But that's just the way it is. If we accept that and function in that way, then pleasing Balaram, then if it is our, then it starts to become very comfortable for us also. But we're only enjoying because he's enjoying. So if he's not enjoying, how will we enjoy? The Joy of Management, right? A new book. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, because of a curse of previous excellent persons, the Yadavas cannot sit on the throne, meaning as the emperors. They sit in their kingdoms, but they can't sit as emperors and sit above other kings. In this way, they speak of him. Oh, okay. Krishna, who is directly Bhagavan, is also not qualified for the throne. In this way, they speak of him. In anger, Balaram speaks two verses. Humans are not qualified for the Parijata tree, but Krishna brought it for them by defeating Indra and the Devatas. Having all powers, he is qualified for the throne. What is that? When it's cold, it just sits there. When it's hot, it sticks to it. Kila expresses mockery or means certainly. Right? So we see is in here, he's saying it in a sarcastic way. He's making a statement. So this is, you see this very, very often with the Kshatriyas. So they don't just yell and scream and this and that. They say something using nice words and that, but in a sarcastic way and with a lot of force. You know, you see it's quite a common thing. Lord Balaram continued, the goddess of fortune herself, ruler of the entire universe, worships his feet. Right? Because we see is that she describes how she is on behalf of the Lord and as his potency, because we say Krishna through his energies transforms and through his energies he pervades everything and makes everything work. So she's explaining how she herself, as that energy, is creating the whole creation. Right? Does that make sense? So she's the one doing the work, but she is his energy, and it's by his desire. Does that make sense? Generally, we don't emphasize the point, but it's brought out. We see Balaram mentions it here, and then she worships his feet, the one who controls the whole universe, and you're saying he can't sit on the throne, right? You guys control this part of Jambudvipa, right? You know, a small part, you know, an 81th of Jambudvipa, which is one part of, you know, is that what it says? Not a whole lot. So, and she controls the whole universe. And she surrendered to him. So that means, what's his position? And then you're saying he's unqualified? Yes.
Who's Balaram speaking to now? To the fools who've gone back?
He's just speaking to, it means the people who are there, whoever's stayed. The unqualified ones, that means, you know, if you say this to them, they'll just get more upset and turn their back more, you know. This time, I say, flick their chudder as they turn. Like that, you know. So it's just, he's just saying it. And then who's there hears it, and then he'll take care of it. And then they'll be back. Those who turn their back will be back. Yes. And the master of the goddess of fortune does not deserve the paraphernalia of a mortal king. Right? They're beyond the demigods, and you're saying even that of a mortal king? Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He has greatness because Lakshmi, his Swarup Shakti, queen of Vaikuntha, directly worships his feet. Or Rukmini, his full manifestation, who controls even me, worships his feet. What to speak of Lo Maya Devi, who gives wealth to Swarga? Right, so you're talking about her, let alone here, who gives the wealth to Swarga, which you guys don't have. You know, so that's the thing. Yeah. Lord Balaram, because Rukmini even controls him, because Balaram is serving Krishna. And so she is then, as the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, then knows perfectly what Krishna wants. So what she's accomplishing, that's what Balaram is serving. Does that make sense? So she, as the Hladini aspect, the Kriya and the Jnana Shaktis, are serving that. So when Balaram says, you know, how you say, who controls even me, because he's serving the Lord, but he'll serve through what pleases him, which she is then directing. Does that make sense? Yes, no?
Yeah.
Lord Balaram continued, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, which is the source of holiness for all places of pilgrimage, is worshipped by all the great demigods. The principal deities of all planets are engaged in his service, and they consider themselves most fortunate to take the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their crowns. So, the sages are worshipped. So we have Goddess Lakshmi is worshipping. Then we see, you know, let alone the material energy, and they all have deities of Durga because, you know, they worship Krishna, but they also have deities of Durga. So, then her, who's above her, is worshiping, and Krishna's the Lord there. Right? Then you have the great sages. Then they worship the holy places because it has the dust of Krishna's feet at them. And so they worship his feet. Right? Because all the holy places are connected with pastimes connected with the Lord. That's why they're auspicious. And so they worship that dust of the Lord's lotus feet. Now that's the great sages, right, who are above the demigods, right? And then the demigods as kings, you know, of the universe, not of just this place. Then they're coming and worshiping Krishna and taking the dust of Krishna's lotus feet by placing their crowns, you know, their nice golden shiny crowns, brilliant crowns at his lotus feet. Yes. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and even the goddess of fortune and I are simply parts of a spiritual identity. And we also carefully carry that dust on our heads. Right, so parts of his spiritual identity means he is everything. So all this is him. So then how they are, the nature of them, and how they were going to interact and relate to him, then it's all part of his identity. Right? Because he is the supreme enjoyer means the others have the position of servant. So that makes him the enjoyer. It's part of his identity. Because how can he be the supreme enjoyer if there's no one there? You know what I'm saying? You know, in your house, you know, you set up, you take all the pillows, stack them all up, make a huge seat for yourself, sit there and, you know, look out on your kingdom, you know, of nothingness. Maybe the cat walks by and couldn't care less. You know, it's just headed off to the kitchen. And so, like that, then we're going to say, you know, and then, you know, so it's fun for a moment, but then in reality, then, you know, you got to put all the pillows back and go feed the cat. That's the way it goes. Does that make sense? So the point is it's part of his identity because He is the supreme enjoyer, supreme controller, supreme knower through all his expansions who do all these things, and then his position is therefore in relationship seen. Does that make sense? So they're expanding from him as a person, not from him as Brahman. Does that make sense? That's how it works. So he is a person, is Atmarama. Then to expand that identity, to expand his enjoyment, then he expands all his energies. Energies and his Vishnu Tattva expansion, starting with Bali. Does that make sense? So he expands to expand his identity. Otherwise, it's all him. So, does that make sense? And still Krishna's, and so saying this, and still Krishna's not fit to use the royal insignia or even sit on the royal throne. And saying all these things. So, Lakshmi worships him. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, and Lakshmi worship him in that capacity. The sages worship him. The demigods worship him. And you're going to say he's not qualified? You know, say what you like about Balaram, but you can't say that about Krishna. Srila Sridhar Swami remarks, the place of pilgrimage especially referred to here is the Ganges River. The Ganges waters inundated the whole world, and since it is emanating from Krishna's lotus feet, its banks have turned into great places of pilgrimage. So the Ganga itself is the holy place, but because the banks are connected to it and touched by it, therefore they've turned into great holy places. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, Balaram repeats what he has said out of great anger. One particle of dust from his lotus feet is attained by Indra and other devatas. Having stated that he bestows powers, it is then stated that he bestows liberation. The particle of dust is the source of purity for all places of pilgrimage. He also bestows bhakti. Brahma and even I, who have appeared as his elder brother at this time, carry the dust on our heads. Right, he's come as his elder brother here, but in the previous age, he came as his younger brother. Right? So it's just, you know, like that. He also... One may ask, why would you bring his sons, etc., being equal to him, carry his dust? Balaram replies, we are portions of his Chit Shakti, his eternal servants. Is he not qualified for the royal throne? He laughs in anger. Right? He is Balaram laughs. Right? So he's portions of his Chit Shakti, because you have Sat Chit and Ananda. Right? So then when you expand, then that Chit Shakti, I mean the Hladini aspect of the Ananda, then that's going to be Radharani. Right? Then you're going to be the Chit, the lord of that is Balaram. And the lord of the Sat, then is going to be Vasudeva. Right? So then they're all his servants. But the point is these energies are serving Krishna. Then as they expand, then Krishna, then they are the lords of those expanded. But they're actually in service of the energy that's above them. Does that make sense? Because he's managing it, but it's being managed in the direction of what actually pleases Krishna. So in other words, as lord of the Kriya Shakti, or, you know, the position of the Chit Shakti, he's being controlled by that. Because if you're a servant, who are you serving? Yeah. And so serving Krishna means serving his energies, right? His internal potency. Right? In Nectar Devotion, it says Radharani is the only devotee. That's what it means. She's the devotee as the Surup Shakti. Then all the Shakti Tattva expansions, all the Vishnu Tattva expansions, they're all serving her. So they're all servants of the servant. She's the devotee. So that means technically Balaram's the devotee of the devotee. You understand? And then Vasudeva is the devotee of the devotee of the devotee. And then everybody else is their devotees. You know, wherever you fit in. So he's pointing out is that actually it's all being controlled in this way. And so if that's the way it is, how can they say that Krishna is unqualified? He laughs in anger. and makes a statement. Right? It's just they're not using their brains. They're just puffed up with little opulence they have. But Lakshmi Ji herself, who is opulence, she's not proud. She's surrendering to Krishna. And they have a little small amount. Right? That little small amount, and they're becoming so proud because they have a little bit what's here. Then you have what's there in the universe. And then this universe is one universe in unlimited universes.
Maharaj, one question was that all the Kshatriyas are always attended by Brahmanas. They are under the control of Brahmanas.
Yes.
So they are doing this sinful chaos of blaspheming the Lord. So why aren't the attending Brahmanas stopping them? They don't do this. Like, you lose your wife and kids and money and everything to do this.
Because they just came out. They went out with all the paraphernalia and everything was nice. And then they suddenly say this and then turned around and walked off.
Quick. Happened quick.
It was one or two verses.
Yeah.
How long does that take to say?
Mm-hmm. And they're doing it again and again, like Karna, Duryodhana. So
nobody is explaining that to them?
Still not them.
Does Bhishma, Drona, Vidura, Kripa not tell them?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have others, I forget what his name is, Kanaka, I think. He's a Brahmin who just teaches them niti. Mm-hmm. You know, means, you know, so he will point out that it was a fault of Duryodhana's that he didn't destroy the Pandavas down to the root. So therefore, from his instructions, then came up the plan for the House of Lack. Mm-hmm. So, we talk about the Brahmins that Duryodhana chooses for himself to take advice from are these ones. So are they going to tell them? No. It's only because the others are relatives that therefore then you kind of they're there. You know, Bhishma and everybody. Lord Balaram continued, "We Vrishnis enjoy only whatever small parcel of land the Kurus allow us. And we are indeed shoes, whereas Kurus are the head," right? These are his, you know, so we enjoy whatever small parcel they allow us, right? "Are we indeed shoes, whereas Kurus are the head?" You know, so if that's the case, then we're going to see Balaram's going to kick the head here. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, "The criticism was directed to the Yadavas, not the Lord." He laughs. "Do we enjoy only a small piece of land given by them because we are Yadavas? They also criticize us. Even angry, he says, are we the shoes? Their criticisms are successively more severe. Thus his anger is more intense. Or his words follow as replies to their statements." Right, as their statements go, then he's replying. But with them, as become more intense, he becomes more angry. Lord Balaram continued, "Just see how these puffed up Kurus are intoxicated with their so-called power, like ordinary drunken men. What actual ruler with the power to command would tolerate their foolish, nasty words?" It means a ruler who actually could. Why would they tolerate this? Right, because they're going on the place. So you can't. It's only by our grace you're managing. So therefore, naturally, you're being put in place because by us saying this, that you can do nothing about it. So therefore, then it will put you into your place, and then you know, then we'll feel good. Lord Balaram continued, "Today I shall rend the earth of the Kauravas," declared the furious Balaram. Thus he took his plow weapon and rose up as if to set the three worlds ablaze. The Lord angrily dug up Hastinapur with the tip of his plow and began to drag it, intending to cast the entire city into the Ganges. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "Lord Balaram seemed so furious that he looked as if he would burn the whole cosmic creation to ashes." Right? Because you've insulted Krishna. You know, the Yadavas and all that, that's another thing, but they're all connected to Krishna. He stood up steadily and taking his plow in his hand. So when he stood up, it wasn't just he kind of stood up, he stood up very strongly. You know, so he took a stance. You know, so he stood up like that. And taking his plow in his hand, began striking the earth with it. In this way, the whole city of Hastinapur was separated from the earth. Lord Balaram then began to drag the city towards the flowing water of the river Ganges. Because of this, there was a great tremor throughout Hastinapur, as if there had been an earthquake, and it seemed that the whole city would be dismantled, right? Because he's going to drag it all the way down to the Ganges, right? So then the earthquake will go on that long. Normally we think cut case a few seconds, but this would take a bit longer, right? You know, because it takes after a few seconds they come out, right? So
mm-hmm.
Don't ask about the Richter scale.
According to Hastinapur is Delhi, New Delhi, right?
And according to?
Hastinapur is Delhi.
Hastinapur is Delhi. It's old Delhi.
Yeah, old Delhi. So
not New Delhi. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's where all the valuable stuff is, you know, the Jalebi Wala, the guy that sells the, yeah, I said good oil. So you go down to the end to the right, the guy that sells the good lassis, you know, that guy. Rata Gully, you know, that's all old Delhi. Oh, the Chandu, the Halwai. Yeah. No? Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. So, it's been mentioned that the river Ganges is flowing, you know, near Hastinapur.
Okay.
But current day, Delhi, we have Yamuna flowing, so what is that?
So we have Jamuna because the Ganga River means a portion of it is Jamuna. That part that goes through Vrindavan, that's Jamuna. But it's the same river. It just comes down, and then you see it comes out in four different places, and then it all goes back together.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So they all come out, so you have four, right? Gangotri, Jamunotri, Alakananda, and?
Mandakini.
So then the Ganga, the Alakananda, and Mandakini, then they all come together, I think, at Deva Prayag. Yes. Or maybe they come up front and then two come together, Alakananda come at
Deva Prayag, we have Alakananda and Bhagirathi. Then that Sangam, the confluence, makes it Ganga from Deva Prayag.
Okay, but that means the Ganga Devi that came down from the heavenly planets wasn't there before that? Or she's just called, when she's just that part, she's called Bhagirathi. This is the point to understand. You understand? You're getting caught on the names.
No, I'm just being specific.
Yes, that's called getting caught up by the names. Because that whole means, did a Bhagirathi Devi that's separate from Ganga Devi come down from the heavenly planets? And Mandakini Devi, Jamuna Devi, Alakananda Devi, they all came down, and Shiva was, you know, was the whole balancing act because, you know, being girls, this one wanted it over here, and she liked that one, but the other one, oh, that looked nicer, and now he had to be running around and all that. And finally, he caught them all and all that. No, Ganga Devi is coming down. Then she manifests first as these four. Right? Then as they come down, then we may refer to them by this, but that's like how you say, it's called Lower Chitpur, and then it becomes, it's been a long time, I can't even remember. You know, every two blocks the street changes names,
yes.
But everybody knows it's the same street. Yeah, so it's still all that. Then they all come together. Then those three are going and known as Ganga. So when you get down to what is Hardwar, then we're known as Ganga, right? And then, but the Yamuna stays separate, and then only at the Triveni then comes together,
mm-hmm.
right? But then if you want to get into that, Saraswati also joins.
Mm-hmm.
So then at that point, but then down here she's known as Janavi. So is this a different river again?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So. Therefore, here, the Ganga means the Jamuna. So that's why when it said that he sat on the bank of the Ganga, Sukadeva Goswami, this conversation is happening on this bank.
What
right?
Prabhupada clearly defines in the Krishna book.
In the Krishna book, okay.
Ahead it is coming.
Yeah, ahead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, with the tip of his plow, which had increased in size by his desire, pulling up the city by digging at the base of the southern wall, he began dragging it with force towards the water. Right? So he just, you know, digs, but the plow expands and then cuts the whole city. You know, because he's Balaram. I mean, he, without using his plow, he could do that.
So Maharaj, did he grow big?
Does it matter?
Well, I mean, sometimes it describes in Krishna book like they grew big.
Yes, but he just mentioned there it had increased in size.
Okay.
It rises the whole land up.
Okay.
Prabhupada mentioned that is why that ocean, Delhi and upper, is on a higher end than...
Higher than the rest of the round. Okay. All around the planet. Because when he took his plow and separated it, it became higher. And so that's why that part of Delhi is higher than the rest of Delhi. Because otherwise the whole place is just flat. He began dragging it with force towards the water. Why? To throw it in the Ganga. He ordered the Ganga, except for Samba, kill everybody by attacking the whole city with water. This was to fulfill his previous promise that he would rid the earth of the Kauravas. Right? So he'll throw in, so then she'll attack them all, and then it'll all, you know, it'll be spectacular. Though the whole city would be submerged, Samba would be safe. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, seeing their city was tumbling about like a raft at sea as it was being dragged away, and that it was about to fall into the Ganges, the Kauravas became terrified. To save their lives, they approached the Lord for shelter, taking their families with them. Placing Samba and Lakshmana in front, they joined their palms in supplication. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, first they saw the whole city wobbling, and then falling into the Ganga. Then they saw Balaram pulling it. Then they tried to save their lives. They lost all pride, because in this process, they just have to think. They can't really be proud of anything. They approached Balaram, taking shelter of him as the Lord, Prabhu. Or they approached him, since he was capable, Prabhu, of giving, forgiving their offense. Because you surrender the Lord, he reciprocates, but that's because he's the Lord. And so only if they accept him in this capacity, then it will work. Or Prabhu can modify Sambam. Putting Samba in front as capable of stopping the disaster, they approached Balaram. If the city fell in the water, Samba and Lakshmana would be in danger. Thus, to please Balaram, they put Samba in front as an offering first. But Balaram was not worried about Samba falling in the water. He pulled the city only to scare them. Because he knew Balaram, Samba wouldn't be hurt anyway, because he already told Yamuna not to bother. Because this, you may say, well, no, but it's water. It's like Vishishta, I think it was Vishishta. He went for, I think when his, all his sons were killed by Vishwamitra, he got very upset at that, so then he jumped into the, I think it was the Ganga, but like that, or one of the whole rivers. And the water just moved back, so he landed on dry land. You know, so no matter how much he tried, then he just moved. So he's like, okay, give up on this one. So. Verses 44 to 49, the Kauravas pacified Lord Balaram by their prayers. The Kauravas said, O Rama, Rama, foundation of everything, we know nothing of your power. Please excuse our offense, for we are ignorant and misguided. So his power is unlimited. He can do all these different things. But generally as God, then you just follow all the rules nicely and all that. And you expect to come. But he is taking the human pastimes. Then he can do things in ways that he likes. Yes.
That river was Godavari confluencing with the ocean. That is in South.
Godavari with the ocean. Okay. Godavari. So it's in South. Hmm? The one that Vishishta. Vishishta or Vishwamitra? Vishishta jumped. No, Vishwamitra would have been the one that bothered his son. Yes, so here is that he doesn't manifest in these ways because they do human pastimes. So this is human pastimes we're doing on the scale of God. Right? Means you want to throw something in the water, you drag it there. So then he takes his power, hooks it on like that, and you drag it. right? Does that make sense? You have something, you dig it up, and then you drag it or you throw it there. So he's doing it in that way, but on a very grand scale. Like Krishna, it's raining, you put something over your head. Mm-hmm. So then Krishna put Govardhan Hill, right? Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, why did they surrender? The Kuru said, O Balaram, who gives happiness to the universe, Rama, out of fear they repeat his name. They say it twice because they're afraid. Balaram replies, I give happiness to devotees only, not to others, right? So you're behaving badly. You give, you know, happiness to the universe. No, only to the devotees. Sorry. The Kuru said, there is no other shelter for the universe except you, O shelter of everything. Akila Dhara, instead of Atikramam, sometimes Adishvara is seen. You are the Lord of even Brahma, Adishvara. Therefore, please excuse our offense, or you should excuse us. Right? So he's saying, you know, your happiness, give happiness to the universe, yet only to the devotees who are in the universe. No, but you're the shelter of the universe, so being part of the universe, so therefore you should give shelter to us. So the happiness part didn't work out. So now they're just going directly for the shelter.
Yeah. Maharaj, when you first started reading, it said Balaram came to them to give them happiness.
Yes. No, but I'm saying, what path are you following?
So they are considered devotees?
He came because they're family.
Okay.
Like that. They may be devotees, Bhishma and others are devotees, but the ones that are insulting, they're not necessarily devotees. You know, Duryodhana is never known as a devotee, nor Dhritarashtra.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Okay. So they're not. Like that. See, is that you have the things, is that he's come there to give them happiness as that he gives the universe happiness. But the point is because of their bad behavior, now they don't deserve a shelter in this way. They don't get this punishment. It means it's all ultimately shelter. But you have to, in other words, do contradictions not resolve themselves in the Lord? Right? So you have to take these back to the Lord and how he's functioning, how he's interacting. That makes these two seemingly different things than be able to be unique in their application, but at the same time be part of the Lord's pastime. Does that make sense? Balaram replies, great offenders like you should not be excused. The Kuru said, we are ignorant and moreover filled with poor discrimination or false pride. Ku buddhinam. Since we do not know your powers, therefore you should not consider offense, since you are merciful to the fallen. Right? So this is the process. So you just keep going. So in other words, here someone's upset, you keep doing that aspect of surrender, or dealing nicely. Not that they're upset, then you get upset. It won't work out. Right? So it works. So it's for any relationship, just means it's just a matter of the... whether it's on solid ground or it's on the pins and needles.
So, Maharaj, in the beginning of the pastime, Balaram came with Vaishnava ticket for the Kuru. And here we can see the Kuru, now they are using Vaishnava ticket.
Yes, yes. Yeah, because now they're surrendering. So it should have been that they dealt like this in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, they could have said that, well, we were really disturbed, it was like this and that, and then Balaram would have, you know, consoled, because he's very expert at conciliation. Yeah. Right? That's why he went.
Yeah.
And so, then, because of the four elements of politic, then your most efficient is conciliation and war. Right? Because giving positions and giving a facility or making ultimatums don't always work.
Yes.
Right? It's real hit or miss whether they work.
Yes.
So, therefore, we see is that conciliation and war are the most direct. Yes. You wouldn't use war without the others, but still, it's direct.
Yes.
But of the two, conciliation is the best.
Yes.
Because then you avoid war, so you avoid inauspiciousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? If it can't be avoided, then war is accepted. But otherwise, your first choice will always be conciliation. Right. So Balaram's then, you know, being the source of all this, will be the best at conciliation. Mm-hmm. So he would have then consoled them as, you know, no, but, you know, it's here and we're family, and so therefore it's you know, you're saying it's someone from outside and that, but actually we're family, so it's amongst the family, so it's another reason for the families to be closer, right? Because you had Rohini and Kunti, yes. And now you have Samba and Lakshmana, mm-hmm. so you have more, you know, between the two dynasties, and so there's more family, it's becoming more family. So he could reconcile on that. And, you know, what else could he do? He's a Kshatriya. Do you want, you know, it's like Krishna did for, he had to do the same thing for Balaram, but because when Arjuna stole Subhadra, right? He says, he's a Kshatriya. Is he just going to take her as charity, like a cow or something like that? No, he's a Kshatriya. He's going to come and kidnap her and show his prowess. It's kind of like, yeah, okay. You know? And then when they said, no, but, you know, he insulted us, and he says, but anyway, even if you want to catch him, he's driving my chariot with my horses. You're not going to catch him. So you might as well just, you know, surrender to the fact that he's got the girl. That's it. Now, if you want to have a relationship, you want to deal nicely, then you go and invite him back to the city, have a nice marriage ceremony and everything like that. That's it. So we see is, how you say, Balaram's the best at conciliation, but Krishna is the best of the best. Or, O Parabrahman, Rama. This is according to the words, Ramante, Yogino, Nante, Satyanande, Shidatmani. Rama means the supreme Brahman, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, in whom the yogis take pleasure. Moreover, you are Paramatma, Akhiladhara, since you are the root of all power of all the senses. Moreover, you are the Supreme Lord, Adishwara, thus we do not know you. Forgive the offense of the foolish. They praise him as the Lord of the universe out of great fear, or because he is non-different from Krishna as an avatar. So we see the difference between the two. The one is the element of Aishwarya, but mixed with sweetness. And the other one is just Aishwarya. So you see is that it can be either of these, depending upon the mood of the individual that's there. So those who can still maintain their rasa, despite this great display of prowess, then it will be in that aspect. But the others who don't, they go back into dasya rasa, then they'll take it from this one. Because Dwarka can do both. Does that make sense? The Kauravas continue. You alone cause the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the cosmos. And of you there is no prior cause. Indeed, O Lord, authorities say that the words are mere playthings for you as you perform your pastimes. Oh, the worlds are mere playthings for you as you perform your pastimes. Right? So they're just places where he performs pastimes. He's created them. He's not controlled by them. And so he just goes to the different planetary systems or places just to have his pastimes. Right? Mm-hmm. So Krishna in his various incarnations, he's in different places. And so that's all it is. It just gives rise for pastimes. If he didn't have the lower planetary systems, where would the demons be, you know, take shelter, that then they would come up and try to take over the heaven, and then him as Vamanadeva, and how he would correct the situation and all these different things. Right? Does that make sense?
But you're right. It seems that the Kauravas address Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, I mean, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but just he's the Supreme Personality of servant to Godhead. But the point is he's still Krishna. Yeah. But he's an avatar of Krishna, is Balaram. So you can address any one of them seeing their connection back to Krishna. So here they saw him as an avatar of Krishna. So in that way they could call him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're addressing Krishna as he's come as Balaram in that particular part. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, this verse shows how, as the Supreme Lord, he is non-different from the Purusha known as Sankarsana, who manifests the universe. Maintenance, sthiti, is mentioned first, since they wanted Balaram to protect them rather than Srishti, because we start talking on Srishti and it keeps going on, so you start talking Stiti about, you know, maintaining. Everything depends only on you. Ni jashrayaha. And you have no dependence on us. The worlds are your playthings. Lokavat tu lila kaivalyam. The Lord has pastimes similar to the activities of this world. Vedanta Sutra 2.1.33. Because he has pastimes similar because he's the Lord. He creates these things. Then he comes here to have pastimes. So the laws that he follows here is because he's already made the worlds to play. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you make a field for playing a game. And then you play the game on that following the rules. But you created the game, you created the field, you created the rules, you know, all that. So that's the thing. So that's how it works.
This particular sutra, Lokavat tu lila kaivalyam means speaking to the group of jivas in the Sandarbhas.
Oh, okay. Very nice. So the Sandarbhas will see this one a lot. Means the world is your place of pastimes. In Narayanadhyatma, it is said, Shrishtadikam harir naiva prayojanam apekshyatu kurute kevalanandat yata matasya nartanam. The creation of the Lord does not depend on a goal. He does this simply out of bliss, like the dancing of a madman. He doesn't have something to accomplish, because the idea of the living entities will, through going through the process, come back to the spiritual world. So there's an ultimate, but the specific thing you're making, you're creating the environment, then they're going to come when they surrender. Does that make sense? So he's made it, and it's not that he has to make it according to someone else. So the jivas say, okay, I'll surrender if you make it like this. No, he makes it how he likes. He performs his pastimes how he likes. And then the jivas surrender how he likes. You know, it's just that's the way it's going to go. It's not going to be according to how we like. Because everything is caused by your will, you must have all knowledge. Right? Because if it's your will, it means you have all knowledge of everything. Otherwise, it's dependent upon someone else's knowledge. Someone else's endeavor. No, but his own will then is completely competent. So then all his energies, the Swarup Shakti, then fulfills that will. And he knows everything about all aspects of it. That's why it works. But otherwise, why would it always work the same? That no matter how small you get, you look in the ion microscope, you still see laws being followed. That there's nothing. You get down to the atom, you know, what they call an atom, and it's still the laws are followed. Right? Does that make sense? So that's, he knows everything. Otherwise, why is it consistent? Otherwise, he'd know down to a point, and after that, you don't know. You know, it's just like the city's going on nicely. Right? And then there's a neighborhood in the city where, you know, whatever goes on in there, as long as it stays in there, then the police will let that. It should not come out. But they don't know what goes on inside. But no, he knows everything. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You know, this particular, the Lord does the creation of the bliss, like the dancing of the madman. But you know that the madman is completely in ignorance.
We know that the madman is completely in ignorance. So why this comparison? So, okay. Is there a Vedic aphorism that mentions that only two persons in this world are happy? Right? So, that second madman. So one's a fool, one's a madman. So when we refer to madman, what do we mean in this case?
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
And happy.
He's happy. Yes, transcendental. In other words, an avatu. Someone who's atmarama. So that's the application of this madman. Okay? Yeah. So.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura ki.